Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new energy company to the website. Now, we have chatted about this company, I think once before, but quite frankly, this company was introduced to us by Doc Jones, and we've been chatting with the company and now just figured it was a good time to introduce the story to all of you. Company's name is NG Energy, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GASX, also on the OTC markets under the symbol GASXF. We are chatting with the CEO, Serafino Iacono. Now, Serafino, the overall strategy here at NG Energy is focused in Colombia. The company is, as it's tagged, fueling Colombia's clean energy transition. We're going to go through the company in a very high level sense. The company does have three main projects, two of which will have more of the work done on it recently. And the whole selling point of the company, at least initially, was that these assets were bought when the oil and gas prices were depressed. Clearly a very different environment that we are living through right now. But Serafino, just quickly, please bring us up to speed on the overall strategy here of NG Energy in Colombia.
Well, NG Energy was, and first of all, thank you for having us on your show. NG Energy was formed specifically for that, for the purpose of going into the clean energy side of the future of what's going to be electricity and what's going to be gas distribution in worldwide. We believe that gas is going to be the transition fuel for the next 20, 30 years before everything becomes, as everybody wants it, electric. And even then, I think it's going to play a very important role. How did we started looking at the market in the natural gas over here in Colombia, coming from my background, that was Pacific Rubiales, that was the largest oil company privately owned in South America at the time. When oil went down to $27, we knew that this was going to be a temporary a cycle that was going to come in. The interesting part was that natural oil went down to $27, but natural gas still stayed up in the $4 level over here in Colombia, which gave us a signal that natural gas has one characteristic that is important. In Colombia specific, it's the premier fuel for home use and the premier fuel for the second after hydro for electricity, but still the most reliable of the fuels. So we took advantage of the moment of going after assets that everybody was abandoning in Colombia because they were going back home, because they were concentrating in other areas. And to give you an idea, what I was going to buy 4 years before in Sinu 9, that we had made an offer for $150 million for that concession, we picked it up for $7.5 million. The same thing with Maria Conchita, that was belonged to the Turkish National Oil Company, where they had spent close to $50 million on that concession. We managed to buy it for $5 million. So it was just the right moment, right place to be in, understanding that natural gas was going to go up eventually. And if you look at natural gas from 2004 to now, natural gas, the lowest that has been outside of the U.S., has been $4. Even the U.S. in 2006, it reached $12 per million BTUs. And it's a very easy formula to understand. 12% of WTI is the best way to look at natural gas. So oil at 100, natural gas at 12. Oil at 80, at 80, natural gas, it's going to be at $9 to $10.
Yes, sir. You know, we're hitting that market again where a reversion to the mean and the nat gas prices is very nice to see, especially for companies that can exploit that. And you guys – did incredibly well waiting on your purchases and picking them up for pennies on the dollar. As you mentioned, the company has three main projects, the Maria Conchita concessions, the CNU 9, and the Tiburon larger JV project you have. Let's dive into Maria Conchita first. You're getting production out of this asset. You've got a couple different targets and wells. Just walk us through a quick overview of Maria Conchita and the production profile there, please.
Sure. Well, Maria Conchita is a development project. We drilled the Aruchara well, which gave us 30 million cubic feet of gas a day. We're going to be probably producing at a 15 million cubic feet of gas a day to start. The second well that is ready to go to production is the Istanbul well, smaller because it was done by previous management before us that we came in. They had some technical problems, some mechanical problems. We fixed the mechanical problems that we're going to put it, but without straining it, we're going to probably produce it between 3 and 4 million cubic feet of gas a day. So what we're building the infrastructure as we speak. We're building a 14-kilometer pipeline and the facilities for cleaning the gas, taking out the condensation of water and the condensation of liquids, separating them, and sending the dry gas to the customers. This is all going to happen in the next 60 days maximum. We are going to be, our goal is by December to be start delivering gas to our customers. And that's where we are. The great thing about the market, we've been a little bit delayed because of the COVID, but the good thing about it is that when we started making the first contact with clients, gas in Colombia was selling at 508 per million BTUs. Today, natural gas in Colombia at $7.50 to $8 per million BTUs. Our lifting cost in this deposit is going to be 25 cents lifting cost. Transportation, cleaning and transportation, all inclusive, it's about $2 all in, including marketing. So the netbacks before taxes and before royalties are absolutely fantastic.
So Serafino, what are some of the production guidance that you are giving once this is in production? Any insights there?
Yeah, but the idea is that these first two wells are going to give us close to 20 million cubic feet of gas to produce. Then we're going to be drilling a third well that we expect somewhere pretty much the same kind of size. It's a well that was drilled in the 80s. It gave us 10 million cubic feet of gas in testing in the 80s. We're going to go back and we're going to drill two new areas. So the expectation is going to be between 20 and 30 million. After that, 2022, the idea is to do three new wells in the south. The three wells are going to be for it. We have right now 30 BCFs of gas in the category of proven, and about 200 million cubic feet in the P10 to P60. So that means that they're resources, but they got to be developed. They got to be drilled. The idea for us is to upgrade with these drill holes those resources, and then we're going to be working on our goal over there in Maria Conchita is to probably extract them at a rate of about 70 million cubic feet of gas a day for 10 to 15 years plus.
Okay, well, let's now pivot over, Serafino, to the CNU 9 project. This is a large project next to Canacol, who has a huge natural gas position there in Colombia. And your plan is to be drilling four different wells. So just walk us through those four wells, the budget, what the expected flow rate will be, and a quick overview on CNU 9.
Sure. Between this year and 2022, our goal is actually to do six wells. We have the first four wells that are the beginning of the project. They're going to be done one after the other. So basically every 3 months, we're going to be doing a new well. So 2022 is going to be the four wells that you're talking about. And then after that, we're going to do two additional. This is a very, very large deposit right next to Canacol, where they have about 700 BCFs of gas. We have potential in resources, 1.7 TCF of gas. It's been drilled. There is one drill hole that was done in the 90s, and it gave us 11 million cubic feet of gas a day. We're not going to be drilling that well because we're going with bigger targets. Our idea over here is to drill the Mexico well, which is the first well that we're going to be testing. It's in the south part of the southwest of the deposit. That area, we believe it's going to be between 35 and more and 40 million cubic feet of gas a day. Well, very much in line of Canacol. And then progressively, we're going to be drilling the other wells. Our goal over here is within the next 24 months to drill enough well for us to take the production first to 100 million cubic feet of producing a day, and then to 200 million, where we will stabilize the production.
What are the costs that you're looking at to drill these wells, and even pipeline costs as well? Because I know that you do need to build a pipeline to connect this to the main pipeline.
The cost per well, it's about $6.8 million per well. We're fully financed. We have an arrangement with the CEPEDEN, which is a company that does these projects. It's pretty much like a Halliburton-type company in South America. They will drill the first well, and then once they drill it, we have 6 months to pay the well, and then they'll do the second well, and they'll give us 6 months to pay it, and then the next, and so on. So we're well financed right now. We sit with about close to $14 million between the money that we have in guarantees and the cash in the bank, and so we're fine with what we have. The pipeline, as far as building the pipeline, different than Maria Conchita, that it's 14 kilometers. This is going to be 25 kilometers to reach the area that we're going to be connect to the south and to the north to deliver gas to our customers, to Medellin to the south, and to Cartagena and Barranquilla to the north, which are the three major cities over there. The pipeline, it's going to be financed the same way that we finance the pipeline in Maria Conchita. It's going to be as a separate company. Why do we do it that way? If we own infrastructure, you got 5 years to amortize it, and then there is no benefits in you owning it. And at the end of year 15, you have to return it to the government anyway. It becomes part of the government property. If I build it as a separate company and I pay fees, you know, a transportation fee, like I said to you that we're doing in Maria Conchita, I don't have to deal, number one, with employees. Number two, I pay per million BTUs a transportation cost, which is fixed. And it's 100% deductible on my taxes, and so a better advantage of my return on investment for our investors.
Yeah, it makes sense to separate the pipeline from the rest of the operations. But very exciting that you've got going from four and then to six wells that will be going online and really bringing in a lot of production for the company. Let's quickly pivot over to just a larger exploration project you have as a third project, Tiburon. This is one that you're, I think, doing some 3D seismic work on, and you see it as such a large project that you may be open to having a JV partner on it. So just walk us through the exploration potential at Tiburon.
The Tiburon project sits surrounded by three of the major discoveries in the last 20 years of natural gas in South America. Perla, which is on the Venezuelan side of the area, only about 50 kilometers away, nothing. 17 trillion cubic feet of gas. Orca, which sits on the west from us, with about nine trillion cubic feet of gas, 9 TCF of gas. And then Ballena, which is the largest producer of natural gas, right next to our project on Maria Conchita. So it's surrounded by elephant country, and on the Venezuelan side, then you have two other inland gas producers. And we see the same structure. We know this area very well. Our geologists were the guys that discovered Perla that are working on this thing, so they understand this thing very well. It's a project that is, the problem is not that there is natural gas. We believe that there is gas over there. We understand what the target is. We're going to do the 3D seismic. The project, the problem, this is going to be a project of 3 to 7 TCFs of gas potential in a very isolated area where you would have to spend close to $1 billion either to build a gasification plant or a liquefying plant for export, or you would have to build a pipeline that would cost about $600 million to build the gas on shore. So it's a luxurious problem to have, but this is a project that we most likely will bring a major to come in and develop it with us.
Serafino, can you give us just a quick overview of the environment in Colombia for energy production? We cover it a lot when it comes to resources, and I know that there has been some, let's call it, permitting issues for some exploration companies, but when it comes to energy companies, what's been your experience there?
No, look, it's you have to have the know-how and the know-who in Latin America. The ANLA is a very tough agency. You got to know how to move inside of it. And when they ask you for certain information, you got to go with the standards that they have. I think some of the mistakes that have been made that have been giving Colombia a bad reputation, or I should call it a tough reputation, has been that the majors that have done the deal, they want to build things according to the standards of what they would do internationally. And unfortunately, in Colombia, you have to do it internationally, but you also have to go with the local regulations. We know how to move on that. I've gotten permits in two major gold mines, and I never had a problem. Same thing over here. A little slow because of the epidemic that we've had, but things are coming into normal, but it's all workable.
Well, Serafino, I think it comes down to having a solid operating team when you're operating in any jurisdiction and people that have done it before. Just walk us through what your background in the industry has been, and then anybody else on your team that you want to quickly highlight.
Sure. I mean, real quick, I mean, I've been in the natural resource business for the last 40 years. I've developed major mines in Venezuela and in Ecuador and Colombia. I'm developing major mines in Guyana. I developed the largest oil producer, Pacific Rubiales. We took it from 5,000 barrels a day to 350,000 barrels a day producer. Still an existing company. It's called Frontera Energy. Very successful. My team is comprised of the executive chairman, Ronald Pantin, that was head of PDVSA for 20 years in the good days of PDVSA. And then he became the CEO of Pacific Rubiales. He ran Pacific while I was chairman of the company. We have Iro Luco, which is a very well-known geologist and also worked in Pacific for many years. Vicente Paglioni, that is working with us on the development of the projects. Also a guy with about 40 years of experience in PDVSA and with Exxon and with Shell. All of our team is a top-notch team. We're very... Marianela, our CFO is big experience working with the agencies over here in Colombia. So she knows how to move in Colombia very well. We all have the experience of running companies in Latin America. And like I said, you got to have the know-how and the know-who.
So, Serafino, you have already mentioned the cash in the bank of around $14 million, or the cash available to the company. Share structure-wise, I'm seeing shares outstanding, a little over $106 million on a fully diluted basis, about $139 million. There are just short of 23 million warrants around that $1.20 region. Break down, though, where the shares are held. How much management, close insiders hold, and any other key shareholders, please?
I own 16% of the company now. I keep on buying shares in the market, and I will keep on buying shares in the market. The largest shareholder, the Fiore Group, I think there's somewhere around 20%. We have large institutional investors that have probably about another 25% to 30% in the hands of institutional investor. And the rest, it's small institutional investors and retail.
Now, Serafino, before we get you out of here, how do you want investors to view this company? Obviously, moving into production, that's a key point, seeming to have the clear-cut growth plans for both Maria Conchita and Sinu 9. How should investors view this company?
Well, this company is being built to be a company that is going to be dedicating itself to natural gas. Right now in Colombia, in the future, we'll see. It's going to be a company that is being built to be a dividend-paying company. So that's the structure that we have, because I believe that the world has changed. If you want to look at a model that I like very much, is a friend of mine, Charlie Gamba, has done a great job developing Canacol. And that's the model that we have. Size-wise, it's going to be that kind of a size company. We're a little bit more diversified because we're not a one project, you know, one concession. We're in different areas so that we have a growth profile to be in different areas of Colombia. And the idea is that this is going to be a very big producer of cash in the future, and it's going to be a company that's going to pay a dividend like Canacol pays a dividend.
All right, Serafino, appreciate this introduction. If anybody has any follow-up questions or wants more information on any of the assets within NG Energy, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you, and we will follow along as the company moves into production and that production growth. Serafino, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Take care, guys.